John and I had a great weekend. I'll tell you what he did for me for Mother's Day. Is that okay? He's a great husband and always thinking about me. And on his job, he gets vacation, and he always saves it just in case. You know, you never know when the Lord will have you go minister or have something else that you want to do. So he kind of waits till his vacation time, because it's one of those use it or lose it type situations. So over the weekend, we left Thursday afternoon, and we went to Galveston. And so we spent time walking on the beach, and our hotel had a balcony overlooking the ocean. And so we just sat there and unplugged from all the thoughts of everything, all the work. And, you know, John does a lot. He works full time, and then he pastors and takes care of me and the kids and everything else, the car, the yard. Well, you know what he does. And it was a blessing to me just to have that time together. We went out to eat, one of my favorite things. just had a great time in Galveston. We came back yesterday pretty refreshed. Didn't take too long. It wasn't too bad. And God blessed us in every way. So thank you for letting us. You didn't know we were gone, but we were. And thank you for letting us be gone. We had a great time.
As I was seeking the Lord, what to share with everyone, because I believe he's got every person on a schedule and where he wants them, to move them from glory to glory to glory, closer to be in the image of Jesus. Amen. And so as I'm seeking that thing this week, he didn't tell me. I saw it all day yesterday, he didn't tell me. Went into the night, he didn't tell me. I'm praying. I'm going through the Bible, and I've got books, and going through books, and he didn't tell me. And I don't just pick a message or a sermon. I don't do that. Because I am not good enough to decide what God needs to teach you. He only knows his plan for you. So I refuse to do something myself. Amen. And so I come here and listen, and I just read the word to you. But finally, at 10:30 last night, this was done, went to bed. He started telling me what he wanted to share with you. And he came to a place where he said, I want alone time with my children. I said, okay. He said, You know things about Elizabeth that nobody else does. Why is that? And I said, well, we spend time together. And he said, yeah. He said, but y'all do something else that a lot of my children don't do. And I said, what's that? He said, y'all plan time together. We for example, we talk about the lesson this morning. We talk about that. Even if she teaches, we talk about that. So we're always fellowship. We talk about the vacation. Right now, we're talking about yesterday. We're talking about the vacation we got coming. We're always talking about our, she says, I want to do this for the kids. And we're talking about that. See, I know things about her because we spend a long time together. Yeah, that surprised me too. But I adapted. Because originally you were using George. So I adapted. But you go through George. And so anyways, he was telling me that. And then I realized what he's saying. What he meant, I want more time alone with my child. And then he began to develop that. The thing is, see, we purpose to be alone together. We do things with people all week long, but we also make a purpose to have time. Sometimes it's only when we have breakfast together before anybody's stirring. We have breakfast together and we talk about the Lord, what the Lord's doing. or it's maybe it's right before we go to bed at night. But we always purpose to have alone time so we know what's going on in each other's life. Amen? See, we believe when we agreed in a marriage covenant that we gave ourselves to each other. Amen? It's not, if I want to be selfish, I stay single. You got it? You didn't want to be single, so you said, I want to share my life with you. And God said, to do that, you got to cut covenant. That is what marriage vows are, when two people make a covenant together. Amen? And they live together in that covenant agreement. Amen? And God pronounces all kind of blessing on that agreement. So He's saying to me and saying to you that He wants time to fellowship with you and you only, so you can learn things about Him that you didn't know. Amen? And there's something, as we go into this, He wants to spend time with you so you can get to know Him personally. Amen? And so that's why the devil fills your life up with busy. Always have you busy doing this, busy doing that, and you don't have time. And that's why people don't know God as much. So when an event happens in their life, they got to have answered prayer. They don't have trust for Him because they never got to know Him. You got born again, you got saved, and you believe you need to go to church, so you go to church. But hey, God didn't save you just so you can go to church. He saved you to have fellowship with you, to be a child of His. Amen? He wants to fellowship with you. You cannot fellowship with in this busy world without having some alone time. Amen? You've got to have a long time with Him. And in that long time, you will find many, many things, and we will discover those together. And it happened as He was alone praying. Notice it's in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 18. This is about Jesus. You can say, it happened to Jesus. He was alone praying. Notice that Jesus found out He has to have alone time. Now listen, people. Jesus was God in the flesh. And He needed a long time to talk to the Father to get the next things He needed to do and get the strength that He did. He had thousands and thousands of people drawing from Him. And He had the Spirit of God doing miracles to Him. All those things draw from Him. And then He had the religious people rejecting Him and wanting to kill Him. He knew all that. See, when a Pharisee come up there, they were listening to Him to gather information to kill Him. And He knew that. That didn't stop Him from doing the will of God because He gave God a long time, which He talked face to face, heart to heart, and felt the things of God. He knew the things of God. He knew what God was going to do. Amen? Let's go over there. Therefore, Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him and by force to make Him a king. He departed again to the mountain and by Himself alone. Do you see that? The people were trying to move Him into error, into what was not God's will. It was not God's will that He be set up as king by man on this earth, because God was going to let Him be crucified and buried, and God would raise Him up and set Him in heaven at His right hand, and then He would be king of everything, of all creation. See that? He set Himself separate because men were trying to force Him into doing things that are not God's will. And each one of us have some situations in our life where the world or family is trying to make us do something we're not supposed to do, or Satan trying to trick us into receiving something. See, so many people want accolades. They were trying to give, don't you want to be king of the people? Hey, He was already king. You're a king. You're a priest. So don't, devil come to you and say, you're going to be somebody. Just tell him, I am somebody, devil. I'm God's baby. I'm his child. Let me tell you what you are. You're unclean, and you're fallen, and you will be rejected and cast into the lake of fire forever. That's who you are. But I'm a king in my Father's kingdom. Amen? Amen. So, know something. Jesus himself set himself apart to have a long time with God to get direction where he is to go. See, the next time he went to the town, he made minister to 5,000 people. He didn't just preach a sermon. He prayed for the sick. Amen. He cast out devils. All those are spiritual warfare. He was carrying on warfare. Each one of us, our whole week are full of daily wars. How did he gain strength to make it day by day? He set a time where he was alone with God. And he got direction. And he got understanding. Amen? So we're not no better than him. He's our example, and we have to set ourselves apart, and we have to get God a long time. Are we going to be, after 25, we get 45, we get 60, get 70? Oh, me and God had a long time. But my point is, people get so tired in life because they don't give God a long time. Where they can be revamped, where they can be stirred up, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Satan wants you discouraged, down and out, disgusted with life. But if you will give God a long time, he will give you direction and show you, hey, you sweetheart, the next step is going to put this stuff behind you. How can you believe that? Because he said so. I can believe it. Let's go forward, huh? Y'all ready to shout? Amen. Truly, my soul, what? In the scripture, we're told to silently wait for God. Now, don't raise no hands. Act innocent. How many of you give God a long time? And I need this. I need that. Please do this. Please take care of that. Oh, my baby's always cute. Don't you care? No. Silently wait. And what will happen to the person that's silent? From him comes my salvation. He is my... He's only my... he's my what? Defense? So life is putting pressure on you, trying to crush you under that pressure. How do you defend yourself against that? I have silent time with my Redeemer, with my Savior, the one who, see, rock means what? What do you put under a house? Foundation, a rock. You want steadfast, immovable. So how do you build a life that's unmovable except by God moving it? Yeah. By having silent time with him. A person that dedicates herself at silent time before him will not be movable. They won't be moved. They're unmovable. You know why? Because they get direction from him and they miss all those issues. Or they face an ocean and splits, and they walk all across on dry ground. Why did Moses have direction? Because he had quiet time before God. I shall not be greatly moved. Say that. I will not be greatly moved. So in other words, you will not be tossed to and fro. You'll be, what, steadfast, unmovable as a rock. In a river, you got a large rock. Does it move the rock or the river go around it? It goes around it, don't it? Even though the water, the flood level, it still goes around the rock. So even though the enemy comes at you with a flood of issues, the flood of the issue will go around you. Why? Because your life is built on a rock. Because you silently waited on God. Amen. See, that's the key that Christians are lost. They think everything's true. Talking. We must confess the promises of God. Yes and amen. But there's another side where you got to wait on the Lord. You got to wait on the Lord and give Him time to give you direction. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. How do the sons of God hear the Spirit of God? They're silent so they can hear. And if I'm willing to be silent and listen to God in that quiet time, I will get direction that Satan can't destroy my life, Brother Phil. Amen. He cannot move me. See, Satan's trying to get you to move you off of believing a promise of God. Because if he can make you get in unbelief in that promise, it will manifest. All things are possible to who that believes. And so Satan's trying to move you to unbelief so the promises of God are not manifested in your life. But we are quiet before God and we're getting direction from glory. Amen. And those directions say he will not be moved because he set his heart on me. My soul, what? Wait, what kind of wait? Now, have you interviewed, no, raise your hand. Have you waited over 5 minutes and your thoughts were quiet? I forgot to put it in the refrigerator. Oh, I gotta go do that. Oh my goodness, I forgot to rake the grass. I was going to air up my tar and I forgot all about it. I forgot to hug my wife. I forgot to tell my husband I love him. You didn't think of those things until you got quiet before the Lord. Why? Because Satan knows when you become silent before God alone, expectations of him inside of your heart rise. You could replace the word expectation, for my hope is from him. Hope is expectation. So silently waits for God alone, for my hope is from him. He is my rock. See that what kind of hope that is? A strong hope, unmovable hope. Because you have silently silenced yourself for God and you heard the voice of God and you know him. I know Elizabeth. Amen. I do not put peppers on her salad. See, that's pretty personal, right? And the Father is saying, you can know me that way. You can know me if you spend that silent time before me and have your thoughts. You're going to have to cast the thoughts down. When you start getting silent before God, you're going to have to work with that mind because it's going to does not want to bow its knee to God. You have to tell it, shut up. We're listening to the Father. See, you're three people, spirit, soul, and body. And your soul is still, it needs some help. And sometimes it has to be disciplined like a kid. Mind, be quiet. We're not going to think that. We're going to think what God says. Amen? So that's what I'm saying here. If you wait silently and expect God to talk to you, he will. Most people get here and are quiet before God and say, oh, I need this. Oh, I can do this. Sorry, God, I don't have time. No, you're going to have to be committed and say, no, this is God's time right now. And you'll be surprised how many things go wrong while you're sitting there in that quiet time. You remember something from 6 months ago. You forgot. Right? Because Satan knows you have quiet time before God. He's done. He knows you can stick a fork in him and throw him where he belongs. Amen. Let's go forward. Remember, when you're spending quiet time before God in silence, you can't be moved. That's a promise. So when I feel pressure come to me, I immediately go in the spirit. I don't know how you handle it. I just go in the spirit, so I start praying in tongues. I pray in the spirit until that pressure leaves. Praying in the tongue is praying in the spirit. And then you pray that spirit, it puts up a shield of faith around you. It builds a hedge around about you. Amen? So then I'm backed up from those thoughts, and I can feel that in the spirit when I feel the pressure pushed back away from me, then I start talking to the Father. I say, Father, where's this pressure coming from? See, I'm still in that silent time. Even though I was in a spiritual battle, I put on the armor of God and I began to pray in tongues and then push that pressure back with a shield of faith, and I step back here, and even while that battle is going on, I'm in peace and I'm talking to the Lord. Father, where did that pressure come from? What is the attack? What is he trying to get to me? What is he trying to steal? See, the devil's a cotton picking thief. He's trying to steal something God gave me. So I know what he's going to do. So I'm listening to him. Wait a minute. Well, he's trying to do this. Oh, yeah. Okay, Father, how do we stop it? And he said, take this scripture and believe it, and it'll be stopped. I said, okay, let's do it. Amen? So all that happened in that secret time. Watch this. Honey, can you read it? Or no.
Do a charitable deed. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly.
See, in that example I was in a spiritual battle, and I began to pray in the spirit. I put an armor of God, and then I backed up and was talking to him. See, he was talking to me secretly. That's important. So the devil cannot hear me when I move into that lone place with just me and God. That's in secret, and no angel, no devil, no other person can hear that conversation. It's private and secret between you and the Father. When you move into that secret place, you can say, you know, you wouldn't know it. I said, Father, I need your help, man. I'm about busted. I'm not talking about money. I'm just... He said, it's okay, son. It's okay. I got it. Now do this and this. I said, okay, but... I don't even feel like I'm doing this and this. Well, at least pray in tongues. I can do that. So I thought, yes, Amen. Sorry. You've seen the life of John. Most of y'all don't know that, but I'm radical in spirit. I'm radical. See, because I know the devil is a killer. If I play with him, he'll take me out. And hey, that's not the God's will. That's not the Father's will. And so the Father gives me his armor, and I got to put it on. Amen? And so what is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God, right? So, the devil is a spirit, right? So, what can you use against him? You have to use a spiritual weapon. And the only weapon we have that can take him out is words. So, you take God's words, which is powerful, full of his life, full of his power, and you put his words on your lips, and then they're like God is saying them himself. So the spiritual words of God goes like a sword and sticks and drives your enemy out. I mean, So how did all this happen? In silent time in God. I gave him that silent time, and I was talking to him. And because I had this attack coming against me, I had to use a spiritual weapon to move my mind out of the way so my spirit could fellowship and commune to God, right? And once I got direction, I took the spiritual weapons God explained to me in praying, and I made move it to the physical realm through speaking the word of God. And then that became my weapon. Words of God became a sword, and I defeated my enemy, and I drove him back. Well, how did it happen? I was in a silent time with God. Let's go forward. Okay. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and what rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So the reason Christians are what? Are not strong is because they don't spend their quiet time before God. In that quiet time is where I get that strength from God. I get God's strength. So that's why when you feel like discouraged, you feel upset, you feel angry, you feel disgusted, you want to scream and holler rather than become quiet and become before God and receive that assurance from Him that everything is already taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. I can have that confidence. Yeah, but the doctor said you're going to die of cancer. I'm not going to die. My big C-H-R-I-S-T. That's my big C. Right? Christ is your big C. You know, people say, well, the doctor said I had a big C. Well, I had a big C before the doctor. His name is Christ. Amen? And He's greater than a little C. Amen. You can gain that kind of confidence if you will have quiet time before God. You will guide me, you will counsel me, and afterward receive me to glory. So in this life, God's going to guide you and counsel you. And when it's all done, to heaven we go. Right? So that's the whole plan. As you're here, God's going to counsel you from one step in glory to the next step in glory. And next step, it's up to you to have that quiet time before God. You've got to have the quiet time. There's not no shortcut, because you've got to be alone where God can talk face to face to you. And as you're talking to Him, you receive that encouragement. You receive that knowing Him so you can trust Him with the most valuable thing of your life and your existence as a child of God. You've got to have that. You are created to live for that soundness, that quietness, and surety from Him, that trust from Him. Because if you trust Him, you'll believe in Him. Whom I have in heaven but you. He's all we have. That's why He's called a rock. Life may bring many, many things at you at one time. But we can stand there and then go this way. 10,000 to the right side and how many to the left or whatever. Enemies come and go. Amen. But He doesn't change. He's unmovable. It don't matter how many things this life brings to you, how many discouragement come to you, He doesn't change. He's always for you. Well, He needs you to give Him quiet time so He can teach you and encourage you and strengthen you to live this life and carry out the work of the kingdom. Honey, you come finish it, please.
Praise God. We need that time alone with Him, don't we? We need to communicate with Him and fellowship with Him and love Him and enjoy His love for us. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Angels are watching. Those that have gone before are with us. It says, since they're watching and since they're with us, let's lay aside every weight that so easily, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let's run with endurance the race that's set before us. Let me walk over here because this next part is so valuable. Looking unto Jesus, the author or the beginner and the finisher of our faith. And what did he do? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he despised the shame. For the joy set before him, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Spend that time alone. The first service, I gave him a homework assignment, and I think I'll give it to you too. Let it be purpose, on purpose, this week. I know you spend time with God. I know you spend time in the Bible. This week, choose to spend even more time listening to God. That's why John spent so much time about be silent. It's not what you know. You're not instructing God. He's telling you. He's comforting you, advising you, guiding you. Spend time and you be silent and listen to him talk this week. And next week, share with us the changes you see in your lives. Amen.
Amen. Very good. One thing that I face, we get a new person in the IT area. I've been in IT since 1970. I've seen all the computer changes, and so I have a lot of experience. But the greatest thing I have is I know to keep my mouth shut. And a young person would come in and tell me all these things and do everything, and in less than a week, they'll be coming back saying, this is not working, and they taught me this in college, and they taught me this in college. They taught me this in training. He taught me that in training. I said, sir, remember this. Your training always builds a foundation, but it don't give you the wisdom to apply it. You have a lot of Bible knowledge, but you don't always have the wisdom to apply it correctly. And that's what you find in that silent time to God, is the wisdom and the understanding to apply the knowledge. See, Paul warned against it. Don't get puffed up. And the knowledge puffs up, and that's what you've got to watch. Knowledge by itself is not enough. Amen? And we've proven that as people. So I really encourage you, yes, you know things in the Bible, but let God show you how to apply that to your life and to your church family and to your friends and family. Amen. To apply that wisdom. Father, we stand before you humbly asking you the wisdom that our Savior, our King, our Messiah purchased with his life and his blood. We ask for that understanding from you. We ask for wisdom from you this week. And we ask that you put that into our lives and reveal to us. Make us aware of those things we need to do the work you have called us to do in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.